Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is from the Old Testament lesson beginning at verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. This is the text. You may be seated. And as we begin to talk about the Trinity, Trinity Sunday, you have to do that, I brought along what I think is one of the most perfect sermon illustrations for Trinity Sunday. A volleyball. And you may be asking yourself at this point, what? What does he have in mind? Anybody have an idea what this is about? One of the kids coming in last night to the evening service took one look at the volleyball and said, "Wilson!" Now do you recognize it? There is a movie. The movie is titled Castaway. Guy on the deserted island, and there's no other human beings around. Frankly, we as human beings do not do well when we are completely isolated, do we? Century after century, there are stories about that. And so this guy on the deserted island, well, he has no human beings, but he has a volleyball that has a smudge on it, and now he does a little bit more, and it looks like a face, and he calls it Wilson and talks to it. And so he keeps his sanity. There's a beautiful illustration of this whole business of needing to have communication, needing to be in community, that actually comes out of wartime. We hear of prisoners of war isolated in cells, inventing a 5x5 grid for the alphabet, and then they're tapping out letters to each other. Very slowly over hours, talking back and forth just so they can be in that communication community, because that's how we're made. Frankly, this is part of being created in the image of God. And God said, "Let us make man in our image and after our likeness." And notice the plurals there. Let us make man in our image. The Trinity is three persons in one God in three persons, and there are relationships within the Trinity, Father to Son, Son to Father, Father to Holy Spirit to Father, Son to Holy Spirit to Son. And in those relationships, that is part of the image that we are created in. And this is why, frankly, this is why God creates Adam and Eve the way he does, with Eve being taken from the rib of Adam so that they're one flesh. And this being one flesh unites them as one. And in that unity, there is also man and woman, who then come together and children come forth. We are created to be in community. We are not designed to be alone. Again, part of the image of God. And so, if we trace this all back to its roots, we find out that it is because God is the way God is that we are the way we are. We have language, ideas. We have things to say to each other. And yet, in human history, we find that in so many ways we are alone and isolated. Friendships fall apart. There are marriages where husband and wife do not share with each other their thoughts, their feelings. They pull back. They hide from each other. There are families where there are estranged members of the family who do not talk to each other at all, and they do not have anything to do with each other. You get into politics and you get friends who, because they are on different sides of a question, they unfriend each other on Facebook, and they pull back and won't have anything to do with each other, and they try time and time again to begin to have the relationship, and then something comes between them and they pull back again. And so we are isolated. We have friendships that just simply drift apart. And the whole theme is then reflected all over the world in the alienation that human beings have from each other. Violence and wars and argumentation and everything else. We were not created to be in that image. We were created to be in the image of the triune God. There's a second step to this. Let me pause on that for a moment and notice when we get to Trinity Sunday, usually the readings are something like Matthew 28, baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Or Matthew chapter 3, the baptism of Jesus, where the Father speaks from heaven, the Holy Spirit descends in the form of a dove, and Jesus is there in the water. And it's pointed out that this is the three persons of the Trinity, very distinct. Or Genesis chapter 1, the Father is creating, and Jesus, the Son of God, is called the Word of God. He is the Word. And all things are made through Him. And the Holy Spirit is hovering over the waters. And then in chapter 2, God breathes into man's nostrils the breath of life, and we call the Holy Spirit the Lord and giver of life. And a question. I asked this at the beginning of the service. Does this look like jigsaw puzzle pieces of a doctrine where you fit them into place and then you have the doctrine and the teaching? All too often it might look like that. So I challenge you, look deeper. Look deeper at what's going on. In your minds, think about verses where God the Father speaks about His Son, or Jesus speaks about His Father. Or the bigger challenge, head on off to read your entire Bible from beginning to end, making notes of every place where one person of the Trinity speaks about another person of the Trinity. And when you finally get to the last book, Revelation, and finish that off, then go back over your notes. You should have quite a few of them. And as you look them over, you will find something happening there. What does God the Father desire when He speaks about His Son Jesus? He desires that everyone should know Him and that His Son Jesus should be the most exalted person in the whole universe. God the Father lifts Jesus up. What does Jesus do when He speaks about His Father? He desires that everybody in the whole universe should know about His Father, and He exalts His Father and lifts Him up. Okay, who lifts who higher? I guess you'd have a difficulty telling, you know, which one adores the other more. And that's the way it's supposed to be in the Trinity. Just like in a good marriage, you'd have difficulty telling whether husband adores his wife more than wife adores her husband. It's a good confusion, isn't it? And add into that mix something I've been teaching confirmation kids for I don't know how many years. All of the things that we say, these are the acts of God the Father, these are the acts of God the Son, these are the acts of the Holy Spirit, every one of those, you will have the other two persons of the Trinity joining in. You cannot pull them apart. What our triune God does together. Who created the world? God the Father, of course. But then, about Jesus, all things were made through him. And about the Holy Spirit, he's the Lord and giver of life. Okay. Who calls us into salvation? Who brings us to faith in Jesus? Well, Jesus says to his disciples, "You didn't choose me, I chose you." And then we have the Holy Spirit is the one who brings us to Jesus, and we could not come to faith except for the working of the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus says that everyone who believes in him was called by God the Father. You can't separate them. Another question. Who raised Jesus from the dead? While we're pondering that for just a moment, isn't this marvelous? The Vacation Bible School, they made an imaginary tomb. And they had a pretend Jesus and acted out the death of Jesus, and then they put the pretend Jesus in the pretend tomb, and they closed the stone over it, and then they talked for a few moments, and then they opened the tomb, moved the stone away, and he was not there. And everybody knows what happened, right? There's a split in the curtains behind. And then they kept on talking, and this was really actually entertaining. And the talking was, and then suddenly Jesus appeared. And then suddenly Jesus appeared. See, they pretend Jesus didn't hear his cue first time. Okay, so who raised Jesus from the dead? John chapter 10, Jesus says, "I lay down my life that I may take it up again. I have authority to lay it down. I have authority to take it up." So Jesus raised Jesus, right? Oh, but then it says in one of the letters of Peter that it is by the power of the Holy Spirit that Jesus was made alive in the tomb. So the Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the dead. Oh, but then it says that God the Father raised him from the dead. So you cannot pull the Trinity apart. They will work together on everything, and shouldn't we have expected that? So we have this doctrine of the Trinity. It tells us that we are made in this image and called into this image. And when we are responding to that call into the image of God, we are in community with each other, caring about each other, loving each other, admiring each other, praising each other, exalting each other. And let this be the case in our marriages. Let this be the case in our families. Let this be the case in our friendships as Christians. And if this is so, then in showing the image of God in our lives, we will bring praise to our triune God. And now I've snuck into something here. This is why, year after year, I enjoy even more than I used to. I enjoy working with couples as they prepare and plan to get married. Because when you realize that the image of God is reflected and the character and nature of God is built into, baked into this whole thing called marriage, and that's how it's supposed to be, you get to talk to a young couple about what is God like and how can your lives show this beautiful harmony and love and adoration and praise that is there within God. And finally, this also has to do with what I call the second best part of heaven. You know what the second best part of heaven is? Well, the best part is you get to be with God. You get to be with Jesus. Second best part of heaven is not that you're living forever. Second best part of heaven is not that you're enjoying all the good blessings and you're just having a wonderful time. Actually, the second best part of heaven, well, for me, part of the second best part of heaven will be down here. And Dick, and Erlene, and Alice, and Bob. See? Second best part of heaven is all of the other Christians that are there, because we are called into this whole network of being together in Christ. And then I started asking, Phyllis, how long would it take to get to know a million people? When you get to number 1 million, would you need to catch up with number one? Where's this end? And the answer is, it doesn't. This is eternity. This is forever. And you will be for each other the second best part of heaven, because you are created in the image of God. And that's what God had in mind when he said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. Here's the exhortation part of the sermon. So go in your lives and realize that this is a part of how God has made you. And go and enjoy this part of being in the image of God. Love those around you. Because that is a part of what it means to be made in the image of a triune God. In Jesus' name, amen.